And welcome back, or welcome to episode 57 of the Better With Running podcast. My name is Matt Davey, and alongside me, I have my co-host and fellow Run to PB coach, Zacha Newman. How are you going, mate?
Going well, Mattress. Yes, another big episode today, mate. We're going to catch up with our longtime friend and Run Culture head coach, Dane Verwey. A bit later on, we've also got some audio where I sat down with Brady and went through the lead in to some tips for the Gold Coast Marathon weekend. And yeah, we spoke about some race day tips, some pre-race tips. And just a lot that encompasses the marathon.
Yeah, great chat, mate. And look, again, there's a lot of gold in that audio there between you and Brady. Sort of set the social media world alight last night. So I'm sure people enjoy that.
Yeah, and it's getting close, mate. It's exciting seeing some of these runs pop up on Strava, Sunday runs. The Run to PB community is obviously there's a lot that are signed up and ready to go for Gold Coast. I think there's 60, 70 plus athletes that are that are heading it to the Gold Coast. And there's also a lot of other results that have been happening around town with more races. And had a big weekend of results, Matty. And I thought we'd just quickly recap a few of those ones that went down.
Yeah, over at Shepparton, some big results came through our message board actually on, and it was exciting to read through some of these that happened. So Chris Armstrong up in Shepparton, Run to PB coach, set up some time trials on the track out there, and he got round and paced on a Sophie Fitz athlete, Amy McCormack, and she ran 17:41, mate. That's a huge result.
Massive run.
And basically just sat on Chris's hip till 400 to go and then just really kicked away strong. Then had a bit of a group cool down and a great morning out there out in Shepparton. And also amongst that, we had Brett Nicholson, ran 18:29. So he's one of Brady's legends. And
PB for Brett there, yeah.
Yeah, PB for Brett. And then another PB too for Taryn Kirby, coached by Chris Armstrong, 27:27 for the 5K.
Was that first one on the track for Taryn?
Yeah, I think it was, yeah.
That's really cool.
And, great outing, is it, for the first one to knock out the PB? Especially like obviously down here in Victoria, we don't have the park runs available for that sort of 5K hit out. So yeah, it was great for those guys to be able to jump on the track. And another one was Kate Dainton, who ran 20:55. So that's absolutely moving, mate.
Mate, Chris is becoming a pacing guru in Shepparton. I think a lot of people will be hitting him up to maybe next year be flying over to Europe to pace a few of these Diamond Leagues or something the way he's going. Everyone he seems to pace, he seems to knock out a PB. So,
absolutely. Metronome. They're calling him up at Shepparton, metronome.
Might need to have a chat to him about a couple of PBs I want to knock off and see if we can get him involved.
Maybe up at Gold Coast. I know he's going to be up there.
Yeah, I'll just tap him on the shoulder and get your late entry into the marathon. Hey,
Albert Park, mate.
Yeah, Victoria down at Albert Park. Great that they could get this run event off the ground after the little lockdown we went through and Sri Chimnoy, which they put on some awesome events around the world, really. But and Darren Stojanovic, he's coached by Sammy McLean, Sammy the Shoe Dog from the Yarraville Running Company, and obviously Run to PB coach. He ran Darren 37:16 PB, and I noticed he sent a message to Sammy that he shared, and he sort of had the laughing emoji saying, also came first in the over 50 age group. So cracking run from Darren. It's not an easy course around Albert Park. I know the wind picks up around there, so knocked 37 minutes around there. It was a great run. And another one of Sammy's athletes was out there. It was Anna Ellis. She actually managed to get second overall and broke the magical 40 minute barrier. So yeah, massive run from Anna. And I know Sammy mentioned she's on track for or gearing up for the Melbourne Marathon. So exciting times with both of those athletes with those PBs.
And then Gemma also had one of her athletes, Gary Murphy. So he ran 40:54 in the 10K. It was a huge boosting, huge confidence boosting run from Gary there. Big things in store coming up shortly.
Yeah, great run from Gary. It's good to see him firing on all cylinders. And one over in WA I wanted to mention was one of my athletes, and Glenn Abercrombie. And we've mentioned Glenn a couple of times. He's been chasing the sub 20 for a little while now. We've been chipping away and managed to have a huge breakthrough, 30 second PB, and he got it 19:55. So it was a 30 second PB. And it was just, I was elated when I got this message through, and he sort of mentioned how he executed it and ran really strong from 2K on. And huge run from Gary and Glenn. So massive run and so exciting for him. He's been working so hard and it's always great as coaches to get those messages. And Mattress, it's with these events coming up in the Gold Coast, there's plenty more of the PBs coming a lot of our athletes' way.
Yeah, so just to see the reward for all the hard work, because you see firsthand almost like that hard work that they put in and the dedication and commitment to get that get the result across the line, and that sort of reward is so good to see.
Now, as we near closer to the Gold Coast Marathon race week, we thought we'd bring in our regular run culture legend, Dane Verwey, who's going to be lining up with me. We did a workout over the weekend that we'll go into. But, it's great to welcome you back to the show, Dane Verwey.
Rapt to be here, Zacha and Mattress. It was awesome to train with you yesterday, Zacha, like old times. And I had a session with Mattress a few weeks ago, so... Yeah.
I was just thinking, Dana, yesterday, when was the last time we actually ran together? Because with all the lockdowns and all the rest of it, I think it was session out at the reservoir, we definitely did a workout together, but it must have been 2 years ago, I reckon.
Wetlands, maybe. Seaford Wetlands.
Yeah, Wetlands.
Wetlands, yeah. Seaford Wetlands. Probably,
I was there too. We did 10 minutes out.
Yeah. That's right.
Was that when we dropped you? Yeah,
dropped me off. Nothing else. Yeah,
that would have been 2 years ago.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Crazy.
I was giving you a few hip and shoulders accidentally. getting tough there.
Good practice for the race.
Yeah, race practice.
yeah.
So Dana, we're like less than 2 weeks out from Gold Coast. How's the body feeling? Like, it's been a little while since we've had you on. How's the body feeling and how's your, and the next thing, how's your week been this past week?
Yeah, I think I was last on about 3 weeks, 4 weeks before the Penrith marathon that I did. And that didn't go as well as I'd hoped. Like, I tried something different there and went out a bit harder than I normally would. And learned that that's a hard way to run a marathon. So I got to the line and I finished that race. I was just wrapped to finish that race. It was really lonely and hard out there. And I ran a 2:28. And then that took about a month to recover from. I took an easy 4 weeks. As soon as I was wanting to get going for Gold Coast, I was hit by a bit of asthma, which I sometimes get. And that sort of... meant that I had to miss a few sessions that I wanted to hit. And then it hasn't really been until the last 2 weeks, I say, that things have started to get rolling again. And I felt like I've had my energy back. Actually, I had the Pfizer injection as well. I had the second Pfizer injection around the time I had asthma as well. So that actually hit me for six a bit for a day or so. But yeah, seemed to have come good, but it's taken a while. And so like this prep hasn't been amazing, but I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Cause you know, like I mentioned last time I was on, like I have had like heaps of running under the belt over the last few years. So yeah, it'd be interesting anyway. Zaka was certainly in good shape yesterday. I could tell that.
Dana, you, or just having a look at your Strava, you sort of had that, like you touched on the back of the marathon end of April, a light May, just sort of building around that sort of 100K mark. But your last few weeks started to really ramp it up. There was 158K week in there. Starting to get going on that long run as well. Like, has there been anything you've coming off the back of that race you've tried to work on?
Yeah, it's probably like I feel like over the last 4 years I've done a lot of long stuff. I've done a lot of the marathon specific stuff. So if anything, I've probably done less of that, and then I've just enjoyed a bit of time on the feet on some of those long runs. So the last 3 weeks, now that I'm feeling a bit better, I've gone a bit longer and sort of tried to get close to the marathon distance or a bit under. And so yeah, just so that I know that my legs are there, but that hasn't been a focus. That's more just to make sure that the legs are conditioned still and strong, that it wasn't too long, you know, between drinks and in terms of covering sort of, you know, that time on the feet. But then I've just been focusing really on just trying to get the legs turning over again and feeling better at half marathon pace or a little bit quicker. Just a few sessions just to work on the fitness, I guess, as well, to check. Yeah, just to touch base there. I've done nothing special really. 1K reps, mile reps, 400 reps, 30-minute fartleks. I did a 3x3K session with mattress, that was good fun. Probably those last 3 weeks, I've focused on getting the doubles back in there and then covering a bit more distance. And I feel like things are clicking into gear, but yeah, you never really know.
Timing's a massive thing, isn't it? And yeah, if you were in this position from a few weeks ago, I know when we did the those 3x3K efforts, and I could tell your breathing was off. You were just coming off the back of the Pfizer injection, and you're clearly starting to show signs, I think, from what I'd heard, that that the asthma was coming good. But timing is a massive thing, and do you feel like it at the moment you've timed it right, that you are starting to come into good shape at the right point, you know, the pointy end, when you want to be fighting fit and feeling strong?
Yeah, I mean, my energy's like good again, and I feel healthy again. I can breathe, so like all the signs of fatigue and sickness that I had have gone. I guess it's just that nagging doubt that you always have as a distance runner, where you're like, you feel like you have to dot your I's, cross your T's, and then like you look at this preparation, but it's not like it's like a, you know, you go, oh, I wish I could have done this, this, and this, but then you've only got a certain amount of time. So like, I'm just hoping that, you know, the fact that Penrith Marathon was what, 9, 8 weeks ago. Got to just take a step back and go, well, that's still in the legs. So really it should be, the focus should just be feeling fresh and back that the fit, there is some fitness there. So I reckon matches.
Good.
It always feels like you want an extra week or an extra 2 weeks. Yeah. Like even now as it gets closer and I look back at the training and I think, I wish I could have got a few more extra long runs in. But the reality of it is you just can't keep pushing it out, because on the flip side of that is, I was saying to you boys off air, you know, that some of these longer marathon sessions there's only a certain amount you can actually get in before you need to toe the line and actually race. So it's a cash on you. You want longer, but then you're not prepared to do those workouts. You can't just keep doing those workouts. So you do need to have a race in there. And
Zaka, you were saying you're a bit tired. like after doing a string of those workouts over the last month, and then you've had a bit of an easier week and until this weekend, I reckon that was a really smart move, because I've definitely done some preps where I just dove too far into the fire, and I reckon my best sort of shape was, yeah, a good 3 weeks out before the marathon, and then I just got myself into a hole.
Yeah.
And what about this week, Dano? What take us through how you went? And I know a few of those runs are not nice and easy. Looking at the pace.
Yeah, I think that's just, I don't know. I just love an easy run. So if we go back to Monday, I did 70 minutes with Remy, my dog, and just ran at 5:07 per K. And I can't remember. I went pretty hard the day before. I did 39 Ks just out at Devil Bend along the dirt roads. And I sort of got moving the last hour. And so I just was like, okay, well, the point of this run is just real slow and just to get some blood into legs and recover. So feel like I accomplished that on Monday and just enjoyed it. Probably listened to a podcast or two. I can't quite remember. Always listen to podcasts on those Mondays.
No music, Dana? Always podcasts?
Always podcasts. I feel like I go slower with podcasts, faster with music. So
yeah, fair enough. Makes sense.
I have to think. So Tuesday morning, I got an hour out actually. So a little bit longer for a double. Who knows why I did that. I think maybe I am chasing Ks, or I'm not sure. I did it quite easy, quite slow. That afternoon,
did you wear a watch for that, Dana?
Yeah, I wore a watch, so I knew what I was doing.
it's not up on Strava, that's what I was wondering.
Oh, no, it is. 5:06 is for an hour. 15.
What happened to the Monday run then?
Oh, yeah, that was 70 minutes on the Monday.
Oh, maybe that's Monday.
Yeah.
Monday's not there, I reckon.
I'm on to put that one on there.
Yeah,
a few private, few secret sessions in there. Yeah, Dan, yeah, you're keeping, right, keeping away from.
Yeah, it. Sometimes I forget to log them up, put them up.
Yeah.
Then 4x1K in the afternoon with the guys I coached. They had a 5K hit out on Saturday, and so this was a preparation session more so for them, and just it was nice for me to get some leg turnover. So we just hit 305s, 306s because that was goal race pace for most of the guys on the weekend. Wednesday, 19 kilometers along Stumpy Gully Road with Remy, my dog again. I felt really good this run. Like I didn't push at all, and the pace it's not that quick, but it's my perceived effort was the same as Monday, and the pace came a bit easier.
Remy's going pretty well, 4:45s.
Yeah, Remy. Yeah, he was a bit tired at the end there. Like he was starting to pull the lead. But yeah, he's pretty fit dog, Kelpie, Border Collie. I've run 30 Ks with him before.
Wow.
Do
you listen to the podcast when Remy's at?
What was that?
Do you listen to your podcast when Remy's out there?
Yeah.
That's a bit rude. Chat to you.
Very antisocial.
Yeah, so antisocial.
He's off doing his own thing anyway. He's just, he's all over the road sniffing. And Thursday morning, I did 35 minutes easy. I was a bit stressed. I was doing this podcast chat with Hugh Van Kylenberg from the Resilience Project, and I was a bit nervous actually. So I went out for that run more so to calm the nerves and clear my head.
I've heard Hugh speak a few times. He's really good.
Yeah,
definitely be tuning into that one this week on a run.
Yeah. He's unreal. He's a bit of a natural storyteller. He trains with Katrina Bissett actually. So it was interesting hearing some of his stories.
Jesus, is that why she ran 1:58?
Yeah, just got the Aussie record this night. Her own record.
He'll be claiming it.
Yeah, the Hugh effect. Then that afternoon, I went to Ballam and with the guys again. They just had 200s. Pete Dutton's on a bit of a different program. He's training for the half marathon at Gold Coast. So I just wanted him to do 4x800 2:24 pace, and I did it with him. That was another good one, just to turn the legs over. 12Ks easy on Friday at Langwarrin at Flora and Fauna Reserve with Pete and Jess, and I had a really busy day at work after that. So that was just a really nice run in the morning after a bit of coaching at Toorak College. And I think we just rolled around at 4:44. So I just run, for some reason, when I run with a group, I run, it feels just as easy, but I just go a bit quicker.
Yeah. The group, I'm the same. I think I'm the same as well. When there's a group there, so someone's always feeling a bit better than the other person, and they take the lead and you just sort of go with it.
Yeah.
I think when you're by yourself, you can just sort of sink into your own pace and obviously just slow down when you're not feeling it.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's what happened there. That one's a bit quicker, just the group power of the group effect. And Saturday morning was the 5K hit out at Ballon Park with the Run Culture Hours, the guys I coach. And it was a really good morning. We had 10 boys there, and they all had their own little goal. And I think we got 6 under 16 minutes. A couple others just went halfway, and then there was 2 boys just over 16 minutes. So that was good to be a part of.
It looked great. Big, great morning. Some awesome photos coming through of the new kit. So, big morning for the owls.
Yeah. We had Tim Bowman, who's a really good photographer, out, and he took some photos. And then, we're trying to do this yearly thing where we just come up with a singlet that we think's, looks good. And we just have a new one every year. So we've just come up with the 2021 version. In the afternoon, I just went for a jog, 35 minutes. Felt really good. It was freezing, actually. I remember I had full trackies on. I had a hoodie on.
Yeah,
looked like Rocky, I reckon. I just ran with Remy again. He was pulling me along for this one. That was around Peninsula Link. And then Sunday was with you, Zaka. So I don't know. I'll let you go over that maybe.
Yeah, well, we can touch on it now if you like.
Yeah.
Zaka, you've got 102 kudos. Dano, you've only got 100. That one.
Wow. Unlucky, mate.
You raised the bat.
Zaka got Sham to put one.
Yeah. Mate, it was great to catch up, and it was good to, for you, and we spoke about this during the session, is actually getting out over some of the harder surfaces, because it's obviously a spot I do a lot of my workouts along the Yarra Trail and the concrete, and then incorporating the Yarra Boulevard Road. And I think you've been doing a lot of your workouts more so on gravel.
It was so Gold Coast specific, I reckon. Like even just the hills over the little bridge crossings, or in and out of bridges. I felt like it was a real, like, that's going to do you well, Zaka, the last 4, 5, 6 weeks that you've done all your tempos along there. Like, it really did feel like Gold Coast, even the freshness in the morning and then how it got a bit sunnier. The hard surface, you could definitely feel it in the legs late. I really enjoyed the session.
Yeah, so obviously with the session, it was 60 minutes easy beforehand, and we had Alfie Ayler and Dave P, another Runs PB coach, they came along for the first hour. We just jogged at conversational pace, was pretty cruisy, headed the opposite way out towards Collingwood, and over the Studley Park sort of area, those in Victoria know of it. And there's a couple of little rolling hills in there, which was kind of nice, but I don't know about you, Dane, but were you thinking about the second part of the session, knowing that we were going to change shoes and, get into a pretty solid progression run?
It probably didn't scare me as much, just because I've done a heap of that stuff now. So not really. I was probably thinking, it was probably once we got to halfway in the 60-minute progression, when we were like, hitting 3:40s and then hitting 3:30s per K, and then just knowing that, all right, we're going to have to step it down again and do that for another 20 minutes. So by that stage, you're getting to an hour 40. And then you have to hold that pace for 20 minutes. thought we did really well. I was glad that we got off the bike track and just got onto the road for that last 20 minutes. It opened up and it just felt like you could relax and not have to worry about the bike riders, the dogs, the pedestrians.
Yeah, there was a bit of traffic on a Sunday morning, and our goal in that first 20 minutes was, yeah, to sit around that 340s, and we did. And there was, like you mentioned, there was just a couple little rises you got to deal with early. And then, yeah, coming off the back of that into the boulevard for that last 20 minutes made it a lot easier, being able to get on the road.
It was, I reckon you actually were taller than me in those alpha flies.
Yeah, I think I was, yeah.
Do you have next percent?
Yeah, I had next percent.
A new pair, or were you going the old green ones?
Nah, new pair. I got the blue ones, the light blue ones. So yeah, probably done about 3 or 4 runs in them. Yeah, yeah, they're the same deal. I think the upper is just a little bit different.
Yeah,
and it's just nice to have a fresh pair going into Gold Coast.
Yeah. And so was the purpose of this session to progress the rundown over that last 60 minutes down to goal marathon pace, or just quicker than goal marathon pace?
Yeah, a bit quicker than my goal marathon pace. We were sort of dipping under, but knowing that earlier on we're sort of sitting above it, you know, sitting in that 340 range, and then you've got the heavy legs through that hour, that just that accumulation. So I think it's a good, and it also just teaches you, I think, to in that sec you can push on and you can actually run a bit faster, and you know, it sort of shows you that in the back end of a race, from 30k onwards, you can start to really wind it up if you've done the work. And I certainly came away with that with a lot of confidence, knowing that I still felt really strong in that last 20 minutes, and didn't feel like we had the absolute brakes on, but I felt comfortable running under the 320 mark. And yeah, knowing that it'd been an hour and 40 in the legs, it's good signs.
Yeah, to me it looked like, I don't know, just by the paces and stuff, that you were actually trying to hold back a little bit, especially over that last 20 minutes, rather than trying to force it to get the pace down, you're actually pulling back. And now I reckon you can see that a lot of times when you hit sort of a 318, and then you pull it back to sort of 320 and then settle in. It's like, oh, I think they actually want to go. But the purpose was not to really cook yourselves on this sort of a run.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, no, it's a really good run. Like, I feel like I even had, like, as much as I felt good out there, there was definitely times where I felt like, oh, geez, actually, I'm starting to get a little bit tired here. And I think that you get those little moments out there on race day. So as good as it is mentally, I think also the idea of it, that you're just going a little bit quicker than your usual. Like if you just, you know, your first marathon, you might jog all your long runs. But I think once you've done a few, it's kind of nice to sort of hit that that gray area sort of pace, that gray zone pace a little bit to chew through your carbs. Yeah. And then the fact that we were going quite quick late, that was really, really good practice for that sort of running through that fatigue state.
And did you boys take on any nutrition, any sort of Morton gels or anything?
I had some Morton with me, a gel. So I took that at, I reckon, about 25 minutes in. Oh, no, it was probably about 30 minutes in. I took a gel and I had planted some bottles around the boulevard. And we hit the boulevard at, what, 40 odd minutes?
Any burritos out there?
Yeah, no burritos on there. We're looking for a few roadside trucks so we could fuel up, but nothing around. But I did stupidly make the mistake of not putting my bottle at any sort of level that I could run past and pick it up. Like, it should have been sitting on a car, and instead
you put it in the gutter.
ambitiously put it down on the gutter and just
on the hamstrings. The road.
So yeah, that was a bit of a test to get down, and a few expletives, and I came back up. It took a while to get back up, but yeah.
Yeah, he showed
you. Especially with those alpha flies on.
Yeah. And then for me, it was practicing running with the fluid again and holding it. So I reckon I held that bottle for a K, even longer, I reckon, 2K, just sipping on it. Yeah, good practice for the race. And yeah, just getting used to taking that fluid on board. Dana, you did yours pretty much depleted, or?
Yeah, I just did it depleted. I don't know. I feel like I've practiced it so much
Yeah.
I know how to, like, what I'm doing. I like doing some of them depleted as well. Mm. Yeah. Got to do both, I reckon. But
yes,
just in the end, I found it too hard to get to my Morton drink bottle. Yeah. I think it was on the other side of the road and it was too heavy. It was like about a kilo heavy. Like I just didn't.
Well, the full Morton bottle, the 600 mil one.
Yeah. Yeah. I filled it right up. So yeah. Rookie.
Yeah.
Zach had just turfed his in the gut.
Well, you're carrying it, Zach, the whole bottle.
Yeah. Oh. I just throw it down next to the car and get it back, get out a bit later. But oh, yeah. So, yeah, I did carry it for a while until I could sort of dispose of it.
Well, who's going now? Zach, do you want to go through your week?
Yeah, mate. So obviously we've talked about, if we go back to the start of my week, I think I was sort of coming off that big Sunday run and I felt like, and I've spoken to you guys as sort of where I was at and sort of saying I was a bit flat. So I thought I really wanted to just this week concentrate on getting some more Ks in the legs and then inject a bit of speed. So I rolled out some of the easy runs at the start of the week, but my Tuesday session was actually winding it back to more of a 10K, I would say a 10K half marathon type specific session, in that I did 4x2K off 90 seconds. So given a lot of my sessions have been upwards of, you know, my Tuesday, Fridays have sort of been in the last 6 weeks, any, you know, sort of upwards of 15K in volume and into the 20K, 25K volume. So to drop back to a session that only had 8K of work, it was kind of exciting to be able to sort of get my head and get sort of up for it, knowing that it was a different sort of a session. And yeah, that one actually came out really well. So I was trying to hold for the first few around that 3:10 mark and then push on a little bit after that. And I think what I found was really encouraging was just being able to come off after each 2K effort, and that 90 seconds, I was pretty much recovered and then ready to go again. And it felt like, you know, I just looked at the overall, it was 3:21s for the 30 minutes of work, so including the recovery. So it sort of shows that the overall, yeah, fitness is there, and I was still able to execute some pretty good paces. Like, not, you know, I think it was a 306K in there. So starting to sort of get those wheels turning again, which I think after you've done so many of the longer workouts, it's good to tap back into these zones.
Mm. No, it was a good workout. And is that on the same course again around Burnley?
Yeah. Yeah, it's it is.
I have a statue out there of you soon, Zach.
Yeah, it's just a perfect warm-up from my place. So I can get there in about 15, 20 minutes. I can get there and change shoes, and then yeah, creature of habit. And I like the traffic free nature of it. You know, it's on a path, and I can just get out there, and I know it so well, obviously. It's yeah,
it is. And you once won a Victorian title out there too, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking about that out there yesterday. I was like, oh, Zach has had one of the races of his career out here. No wonder he loves it.
But yeah, I reckon it's good that you kept in touch with that sort of, that slightly faster sort of pace, and probably might have even helped for Sunday, where that slower pace, you know, going at 340, 330, 320s, it made it feel a lot easier.
Mm. Yeah, 100%. And then going to Wednesday again, just another 90-minute long run. So getting at, just ticking along, like my pace is similar to Dana, you know, 4:45s, 4:46s, group run, so a lot of chat, and just yeah, very cruisy. Again, into a double the next day, a 30-minute, 70-minute double, and then actually Friday I had the Pfizer injection, first dose that night, and yeah, it did sort of knock me for six the next day. I was really flat and tired, and I think it might have been the accumulation of the last few weeks as well, and you know, just a bit of stress around whether the race is going ahead, you know, with the roller coaster we're going with, you know, borders and everything. And then yeah, just I think that did sort of flat me on on Saturday. So I did get out, just did a really cruisy run in the Arvo. Wanted to kind of get a lot of extra sleep in and just make sure everything was sort of all good for Sunday. And yeah, like we touched on, rounded out the week. And it was really positive because I wasn't sure. I think Saturday night I was like, oh, I don't know how this is going to come out tomorrow because of, you know, I was still pretty fatigued. But yeah, thankfully it did come out really good. And now leading into this week, it's yeah, I've got a couple more shorter sessions, and yeah, the taper really starts to kick in the next sort of 10 days.
Yeah, so 122 Ks for the week, and I think it was at one rest day.
Friday.
So arm and narring on that Saturday whether you'd run again. Did you feel better for the run?
Yeah, I think I did. Yeah, I think because I'd just been sitting around, and I think it's just good to get out, get moving again. But it was one of those things like, am I going to really flatten myself here by pushing on? But it did play out all right. So I was glad to get that run in.
Have you got the second dose booked in?
No, they haven't. I haven't got it booked in yet. So hopefully, Sham's organising that. So. Yeah, no, we need to set that up because it's about it's obviously going to be after Gold Coast. I think So yeah, we're just gonna get all that sorted. But yeah, overall, looking at the last, I think the last 4 weeks calculate the average of 148 Ks. The last 4 weeks average, which for me is right up there with the most Ks I've done over probably a 4 week period. I've always sort of sat at 130, 140. So I think that and the addition of marathon specific sessions as opposed to more of a 10K half marathon, but I guess more frequency of those workouts, whereas this has been a build up that's had some longer sessions in it. So yeah, it's going to be exciting to toe the line with you, Dano, in less than 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think we'll have a good pack, Zaka. I think we saw Clary McIntyre out there as well. I reckon he'll be around our sort of.
So are you thinking a 225 pack, sub 225?
Yeah, I reckon. And just see how I feel.
I think it's seems to be a barrier that a lot of athletes go for. So I think that there should be a few groups. I know Julian Spence sent me a message before saying he's got a bloke that wants to run at that pace. Rumors about a 226 female pack going out at, so that could be something that, you know, we'll have around us, but potentially just, you know, so we'll see what happens on the day, mate.
So you might have the motorbikes buzzing by spot.
Yeah. And Mattress, how about you, mate? You're gearing up for the half marathon up there, and some big sessions popping up on the Strava sphere.
Well, yeah, I guess this week was planned a little bit more of a down week, just because I knew I hadn't really had one for quite a while since I started building up. Since I'd started building up sort of, I don't know, 7-8 weeks ago, everything was, every week was bigger than the last. So I thought I'd, and I was feeling a little bit fatigued, so I decided to cut back on mainly just on the easy runs. So instead of doing like 70 on Monday, I did 50. And then Tuesday, instead of doing 60, I did 55, just so I could freshen up a little bit for some of the sessions that I wanted to do. And so I've been moving the session because of my, because work, I usually finish up a bit later on the Tuesday. I've been changing it to Wednesday. And one of the guys down in Mornington, Ben, he does his sessions on the Wednesday as well. So I've been meeting up with him and doing them. And he sent through the session he was doing, which was 3 by 3 minutes, then 3 by 2 minutes with a 1 minute float off everything. And so I worked out that it was going to be 21 minutes of running. I thought that'd be perfect because I wanted to take this one a little bit less, like you were saying, Zaka, where, you know, most of your sessions, you know, building up to 20 plus Ks and then you backed off to an 8-9 K session, and it felt like it was pretty exciting to back it off like that. So this one, I'd been doing more like, I guess, 9 to 10 Ks worth of work, or 8 to 10 Ks worth of work. So I backed it off to, I knew it was around to be around about 6K. I knew it was going to be a tough session because with only 1 minute float, and I guess it's kind of similar to where, you're doing K reps off a minute, but the usually off a minute recovery, it's just a walk or a real slow jog, whereas this, we were floating. So I just made it that extra bit harder. But then, so instead of doing sort of, I guess, 6x1K off a minute, it was the last three reps were only 2 minutes long. So you're backing off a bit, but trying to hold around the same pace. That was a good session. And I was pretty erect at the end, actually, because I averaged 3:13s for the 21 minutes. So, I know anytime was, if you do a monofartlek, which obviously is a lot more floating than there is, but compared to this anyway, the 10 minutes of harder work and 10 minutes of floating. And anytime you get around 6K, I feel like it's a pretty good result. And I think we went through 20 minutes in like 6.2 or 6.3K. So cool. I was a bit surprised that came out at that sort of pace that we were going.
Just a quick one, have you backed off your easy runs, or are you feeling fresher on session days?
I did this time, so I hadn't really backed off too much on the easy runs, just more the volume, not so much the pace, especially on the Monday and the Tuesday, like that was just a little bit less.
Just the past few weeks, some of these sessions are starting to really come out a bit stronger, and I'm just thinking whether there's been a change that might have freshened you up on session days.
I think just adjusting to the load again. Yeah. And I've noticed that, like, I know, like, I had those issues with my heart, and I noticed that, right, like, probably the last couple of weeks, my heart rate's really been dropping, and at rest and during, like, my easy runs. And so they're like, I guess it's a sign that I'm starting to adjust to the training, adapt to it, and get stronger from it. I think that's sort of, been a pretty positive light. And it's something I haven't really felt for, I don't know, probably like 6 months or something, that I've felt like that sort of way where I'm headed. I think that's probably what it is. Not some, and also obviously this one, I did take it a little bit easier leading into that session.
Where was that session, Mattress?
I did around Narambi, but there's like the 1K loop around Mornington there, around Narambi. So just did laps around the 1K loop there. It was a good place to do it, actually. We were going to go on the gravel, but it was a little bit wet this night, and it was a bit sloppy underfoot, and we would have been jumping a few puddles, so we decided to stick to the road for that one. Just instead of doing the 90 minutes the next day on the Thursday, an hour 25 I did the week before, I just did an hour at 4:44, so dropped back the pace from what I did Monday, Tuesday, which was like 4:28 or something like that. And then, Fridays, I was tempted to take Friday off just because it was a bit of a down week, but I decided to just jump out for an easy 30 minutes. Saturday, got out to Safety Beach, where I've got that loop, Clay's Loop around there.
Clay's Loop, yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah, Clay's Loop. Just over 2K loop around Safety Beach. And, the session was 5x1K on, 1K off, and I aim to hit it and hopefully average around 3:20. So that meant that hitting the 1K on at 3:10-ish pace. So I guess 10K pace. Mm. So 3:10s and then the offs at 3:30s. Managed to pretty much do that or just slightly quicker on the ons over the last couple. And then got through the 10Ks in 33:14. So that one, that one got a lot of confidence out of that one, I think, because that's probably the best sessions felt for quite some time. So I got to about 500 meters into the first 1K on, and I felt terrible. Like, this is going to suck. But then, I don't know, something clicked, and started rolling the next 500 meters. And then on the float, I felt like I'd fully recovered at 3:30 pace, and then got to the on again, and it felt a lot more comfortable going that 3:10 pace. So yeah, it was managed to tick it off and really get some confidence out of that one.
Bit of airtime on the Strava picture there, mate, with the Alpha Flies, the on running run to BB on singlet, oat socks. Yeah, looking very good, mate. That's almost influencer level.
Oh, not really. No, Gemma was Gemma had done an easy run along the foreshore there, and she came across to, and that was my last rep. She came across to and saw me running past and quickly got the camera out. That was pretty much race kit again for that one. I'm definitely going to jump in the Alpha Flies for the half and the on running singlet.
Is that solo mattress like that? That's a ripper session. Like I said off air before, Sean, my brother, came over and he said, "Oh, mattress is back."
Oh, really? Jeez. That's good news. Yeah, that was solo. Yep.
Nice.
Yeah, slowly getting back. But then then Sunday went out to a few of us went down to Patterson River, where met Reese, Stacey, Gemma, and Karina, and we rolled around there for, well, I did an hour 40, and Gemma and Karina had a couple of hours, and I was, after my hour and 40 finish, Reese, who I coach, he's had a half hour pickup so he had 90 minutes easy and then 30 minutes at around goal marathon pace around the Seaford wetlands there. So I jumped on the bike and watched him finish off that, and so it was really good to get out there and support him and see that he was rolling so well. And yeah, it was a bloody cracker of a morning that Sunday, and I'm sure you guys obviously found the same up in the
jump in for a swim after that. You could have done almost a mixed up triathlon there. With the bike and into the water.
Now I was a bit worried. So when we came around, you cross a bridge over Patterson River, and we were on the way back, and we saw four cop cars on just parked on kind of the side on the footpath, and we're like, we couldn't see any cops around, so we made a quick bit of a detour because we thought we might know where they were up towards the Carrum Rowing Club, and sure enough, there were eight cops out there, and they had three guys that they were in cuffs pulling along back to the divvy vans, and we quickly turned around and ran the other way. So was a bit worried about jumping in the water. I think didn't know what was going to be in there.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's a good morning.
Cracking week, mate. And how many K's did you end up for the week?
Just on the 100, I think. Yeah.
Good sessions in there, and it must give you some confidence 2 weeks out. Where do you sit with your half marathon goal?
Yeah, good question. Originally I was planning sort of around 70 to 72, but I think I'll stick it around that sort of a goal. I'd love to dip under 70. I'm just not sure if I've done the sort of mileage that I would need for it. Just in the sort of those last 5K might start really stinging because I just haven't done the volume. But yeah, that's sort of where my head's at the moment, hoping for around 70 to 72. And then if I'm feeling good, I'll try to push on after sort of 10K. That's the way I kind of like going out at my with my half marathons.
It's great that you're back in that position to have a crack at it, mate. And after, a tough April, and now you've built that fence back up on Strava, and the bars are looking good. So I think, it's going to be exciting to see what you can do.
Yeah, looking forward to getting out there, and then the next day supporting you guys out in the roads up there. Well, hopefully we haven't got the all clear yet of getting up there, but I'm pretty positive about it at the moment.
Yeah, it's been pretty positive, like just to see your build-up mattress. I reckon last time I was on the podcast, you were struggling like just after Hobart. So the way that you've gone about it's been really smart and intelligent in terms of just slowly building back up and just, taking it for what it is and not forcing it and just working with your body. So, you're getting the reward for your patience and your effort.
Yeah, thanks, mate. That's kind of what I was looking to be doing, is really just slowly building up. Like I've sat up at around 180 k's a week, and then I'm thinking, I'll be fine to do 120, 130, then 140, but just the body doesn't always respond so well at that sort of a quick build up. So this has been a lot more gradual, and like I said, a lot more patient. So seems to be paying off at the moment. Thanks.
It's been heaps of long runs where you just pulled the pin too. Like you could have easily just gone, oh, everyone else is doing 2 hours or an hour 50. I'll just do it because everyone else is. But you've held strong and held stuck to your plan.
Yeah, I know last week when we were out there, Dana, around Devil Bed, and you said, are you doing 2 hours? nah, I'll do an hour 40.
It is hard. As runners, we just, the temptation to squeeze that a little bit more out, it's just, we all go through it, but done well, mattress. But
yeah, trying to focus, I guess, taking that back, and I feel like the quality in the sessions has come back, so that's sort of what I think is going to help me on in a couple of weeks' time in the half.
Good stuff. Well, it was great to have you on again, Dane, and I know we'll be definitely being in touch over the next few weeks as to your last few runs in the lead up to the Gold Coast Marathon, and then going to be exciting to toe the line with you.
Yeah, no, can't wait, Zaka. I think yesterday was just a taste of how it's going to be out there.
Hip and shoulder and
we have done a few marathons side by side. I know, like BWA and Melbourne Marathon, maybe a couple of Melbourne Marathons together. I know definitely one we were side by side for a while, so be good to duke it out again on the roads.
That's it. I think you've got the honours both times.
Thanks very much. Much
Dano.
Yeah, awesome, guys. I'll see you later.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got the headphones in. Yeah. All righty, we are live. Brady Thrallfull, how are you, mate? It's great to catch up here virtually back again. And we're going to have a bit of a chat about the Gold Coast Marathon and leading in a couple of weeks out, mate. And it's getting pretty excited. So we thought we'd take this opportunity to jump on a call and, just talk about a few tips for the race day. And how you going, mate?
Correct, Zaka. This time in 2 weeks, it'll all be run and done Sunday evening. I'm good, thank you. Looking forward to sharing a race weekend. I think me and you are sharing some accommodation in 2 weeks' time up at the Gold Coast. This has evolved a bit, hasn't it? Well, I was going to write a blog, I think, Tuesday. Yeah. Come up with the Andy Lane gave us the idea to do something around the Gold Coast. I was going to write a blog. And then I thought, you know what, I can't be bothered typing stuff in and proofreading it, so why don't I just record a little video message for all the Run to PB members? And then we decided, hey, it'd be much easier than one person talking to have two people on the call. And this is where we're at, Sunday afternoon, talking about Gold Coast Marathon, some tips. And a few little things about the course and stuff like that in 2 weeks' time that hopefully comes in handy for a few of our members who will be lacing up there in 2 weeks' time. I think I looked at their sheet the other day, something like 65, 70 maybe runs PB members in action on Gold Coast Marathon Festival race weekend, which is pretty exciting.
It's been exciting jumping on your Strava after your Sunday run, seeing all the big Sunday runs pop out over the last few weeks and some big sessions. And it's just been, and also someone who's getting ready for it as a coach as well. And, it's been inspiring as well, seeing and going along the journey together with some of the athletes I coach. And yes, we've been riding a little bit of a wave with down here in Melbourne with the lockdowns, and we're all fingers crossed we're looking good that we'll get up there. And it's an exciting time. We're seeing people getting PBs in the lead up, and just these long runs and practicing nutrition, and just so many great things that Run to PB members, so it's gonna be cool to catch up with a lot of them as well.
It is, we kind of missed the opportunity to do that a lot in 2020. Like, obviously what we do is online coaching, but it's pretty common, especially for the people in Australia, that we get to finally meet a lot of the people that we see their names online and stuff. And I'm looking forward to that also up at the Gold Coast. It's been, as with all the marathon preps, there's some people had ups and downs, and that's always expected in marathon stuff. But it's good that I think the majority of people are going to make the start line pretty healthy. I know a lot of my crew kind of had main workouts, their last big workouts on today or maybe like earlier this week. So people have got all the hay in the barn now, and the big focus now shifts to get to the start line injury free and kind of like fresh as a daisy. And kind of looking forward to sharing the start line, as you did mention, that we'll both be in action as well. You'll be lacing up for your first Gold Coast Marathon. I'll be in the half marathon. Previously kind of ran the half marathon a few times, and I ran the 10K once
How many halves have you done up there? I've done a couple of tens, but never the full marathon.
I think I've ran six half marathons maybe. So, yeah, it's a pretty popular hunting ground for people with a fast half marathon. My previous PB was set there before I took a few seconds off it at Melbourne half marathon. But, yeah, it's such a good course, a half course, and it always draws such a kind of elite and sub-elite field that you just kind of get sucked along for some fast times. 6 o'clock starting isn't great, like you start in the dark, but we do a lot of our training in the dark, so we're kind of used to that early mornings as well. But and then I did have an experience 1 year pacing the lead females to 35k, which kind of gave me good intel and good experience about what that first 35k looks like, and looking forward to sharing a bit of that tonight.
Yeah, we'll draw on it. I want to pick your brain on a part of that, some of the course. We'll go through a little bit of that, and yeah, and it's that whole weekend, it's just, you know, you really get a chance to use the energy of all your runners around you and the fans, and it's a great festival. I mean, it's one of the best, it's got to be one of the best events in Australia that we get to all get up there and enjoy.
But I'd say the best. I think it's probably the best festival. Yeah.
Has to be, isn't it, really? Yeah.
Mate,
we wanted to go through a few tips. I think just, we've got a lot of our coaches are working closely with our athletes on really structured programs and on race day, the real nitty gritty. But we thought we'd just go over some more, broader tips and that you can probably draw from, and both of us from our marathon experiences. And we probably the first one there, mate, that we all talk about is having setting these programs up, setting goals, and then actually executing on the day and having a race plan. And you obviously talked to your athletes about that on a pre marathon call.
Yeah, 100%. And the half marathon athletes. And even last week I was down running the Launceston 10K and had my training partner down there, and we kind of spoke about his race plan before it and really kind of had stuff teed up to the second. Like I think our plan was to go through 5K in 14:47 to 14:50, and we went through in 14:49, like to the absolute second, have these things kind of planned. And it's something that I think everyone definitely needs to have sorted. I'm really confident that all our coaches will be in communication with their athletes during the week. It's interesting. Some athletes want to know early. So some athletes in the past have hit me up, 2 weeks, 10 days out, saying, hey, I want to start thinking about this. I want to start visualizing it. I want to start kind of preparing for it. Can you tell me what the plan's going to be? Other athletes, it's kind of like a 1 or 2 day before kind of thing. They're happy to find out and kind of start thinking about it then. But really, when we talk about race plan, like we're talking about plan for pacing. That's probably the main thing. And sticking to it and being disciplined to stick to it as well. It's an exciting race weekend. You're going to be fresh on the start line. You're going to have a whole lot of adrenaline pumping. And especially for marathon runners, like you've been doing all your marathon paced workouts previously, probably by yourself, probably in cooler weather, probably a bit tired, you're not tapered. And all of a sudden you kind of start out at maybe that race pace plan and it feels super easy and you're thinking kind of up it or the other way. Sometimes it feels hard and you go, how am I going to keep this up for 42K? But trust in the plan, have a good plan, discuss it with your coach, ask questions if you've got questions about it. And the other part of that plan is as well around nutrition. So what have you been practicing with gels? What have you been practicing with drinks? It's one of those things that you've just got to, you get really focused on and really locked into it. And that's really going to help a lot of people experience success on race day by having a plan, sticking to it. A marathon's not something you wing. Like you don't just wake up that morning and go, 3:30K pace feels good today or 4:05K pace. Like your coaches would know from your specific workouts what pace is going to be in the ballpark. Sometimes it's hard to know exact pace, but they'll know a ballpark pace. And just like you, Zach, like we've been talking about your, Matt and I analyze your training every week. We kind of send comments about it, and I know I've sent in a prediction for what I think pace you could go out and race at. And it might be a minute here or there, higher or faster or slower, but at the end of the day, I think most of the coaches have a pretty good read on their athletes, how fit they are, and what's going to be a successful and sustainable for the full distance race plan for them. So, tip number one, have a race plan. Anything else to add there? Have you started thinking about yours?
Yeah.
On a piece of paper and have it on a piece of paper. If your coach sends it to you, print it out or write it out, like read over it, know it. You don't want to stand on the start line going, oh, was that 340 pace they said for the first 10K or 330 pace? Like it's have it nailed.
Yeah, and what you said about, a lot of your sessions you're doing when you've got heavy legs and when you're tapered, you're going to be ready to go and you've got to be patient because I think it's easy to get sucked into the energy of the event and the adrenaline going and you go, this is feeling great. And you can really make up time in the back half of races. I've read a stat and you can fact check this on me later, Brady, but I reckon every event over the 3K, world records have been broken and they've all been negative splits.
Off a negative split, yeah.
Yeah. So you just got to be patient early and then you know that you're going to come home and you can make up time and you can really bring it home and get that PB and run that time. So, yes, sticking to the plan, having a race plan and, you know, just and we'll talk a bit through how that can – Yeah, you can. It can be a roller coaster, the marathon. It's you've got to be able to work through some different stages. But having that plan in the first part is definitely the key.
Yeah, and when you get your plan too, like I like to send guys like this is part A, part B, part C, part D of the plan, or this is stage one, stage two, stage three, and maybe break the race into three stages. And thinking about different inspirations and different themes, like different. And I think it's good to break it down mentally. Like you don't have to go off the start line and go, okay, I've got 42K ahead of me. It's like, okay, I've got 16K in stage one before I need before I need to change my thinking to then worry about getting from 16 to 30K, for example. Yeah. So, and that's where in those stages, it's like, well, stage one's all about hitting this pace and hitting these two drinks or these two gels. Then we're going to worry about stage two when we get to it. So, yeah, definitely. I know for me mentally, breaking down the plans definitely something I do personally and I highly recommend that other people do as well.
Spot on, mate. Now, you mentioned nutrition, planning and gels and knowing what you're going to have on the day. And I think that is, I guess that's where it comes into nothing new on race day, your tip number two. Mm. And, we can talk about gels and that, but also apparel, shoes, socks, everything down the underwear. You want to know what you're comfortable with that doesn't chafe, that you feel that you're confident in. So you've done your workouts in this kind of gear. And, I really think this is a really good one. Simple, but it makes total sense.
Simple, easy, but big, huge bang for your buck. You know what I mean? Like this is stuff that if you get wrong on race day, it can have a massive impact. Can be pretty detrimental if you're on the side of the road vomiting or you have to go to the toilet a number of times or whatever it is because you've picked up a gel at the expo the day before. They look good. You've heard good things about them and you decide to have three in the first hour. Practicing the things so on race day nothing's new. So you kind of summarize it really well. I'd even chuck in there as well, like get up time. So the race starts at 6, we've still got 2 weeks. Is there a day where you can get up at 3:30 or 4 to practice what that's going to be like on race day? Because if you've been getting up and, getting up at 9 a.m. and doing all your runs at 11, the experience on race morning, you're going to have that adrenaline and stuff and it's going to kick in. It's going to be maybe fine, but it's going to be different. It's going to be something new. It's going to be a new experience. So, I like to call it like the dress rehearsal with a lot of my guys. I know Chris O'Neill, one of our coaches, uses that kind of term as well, and he kind of builds it around sometimes a workout or a medium long run or a long run in there. So, it's the shoes. It's the doing the shoelaces up the same way on the shoes. It's the how, is it 60 minutes before the race you have the coffee or is it 90 minutes for you? Is it two pieces of toast with jam or is it peanut butter? Like all those things, we're all going to have our own preferences and you just need to make sure you're just nailing what your routine is. So nothing is new on race day. Like a comfort thing is the kit. Like it's, the singlet you've been wearing the last 6 weeks might not be the best looking singlet, but if you've worn it for all your marathon workouts, I wouldn't be changing that come race morning. So nothing new on race day. It's, I've heard it a million times, so I didn't make that up. I just ripped it off. So, but what about you? You thought about, like, I know for me in the half marathon, I'll be wearing the same singlet I raced in the last, 5 races I've done, same shoes I've trained in. Probably got 50 or 60 Ks in the pair of shoes. Like, they're not brand new, but enough in them to test them. And then, really simple breakfast routines, really simple coffee routine.
I'm pretty big on routines and also, the same with the kit. I've been doing a couple of my bigger workouts in the kit I'll be wearing, getting the shoes right. So yeah, I'm really confident with that. So again, it's yeah, getting all that sorted early on in the piece, and then it probably leads to the next part that I guess yeah, we've sort of touched on, but this is a major part, this preparation of having your plan, having, you know, the kit organized so you're really ready to go, and that's going to eliminate that unnecessary stress just before you get to the start line, or let alone, you know, what happens during the race.
Yeah, for this one, I think it's really key in that, like, from 24, like 36 hours out before the race starts, like what stress, I'm just seeing this comment here, Zaka, that someone also said same dinner the night before, which is real. Yeah. And even I'd say the night before that as well. Yeah. Anything 48 hours, I wouldn't be changing, eating anything new that I haven't previously eaten. But yeah, back to that eliminating unnecessary stress. Like, it's the little things. Like, I know at the Gold Coast, a couple of times I've been there and I've gone to bed the night before knowing I've got a 6 a.m. race the next day, being a bit worried that the tram, you know, the tram goes up and down. That's not Cavill Avenue, but it pretty much goes up and down that strip. And I remember having bad dreams about, I'm going to get there, I'm only going to have half an hour or 45 minutes or whatever, and the tram that comes is going to be full. And then the next tram that comes is going to be full. And then the next, all of a sudden it's like, well, do you run the 5K to the start line, or do you walk it, or do you try to find a taxi? But what's a taxi number in Gold Coast? And then now I just book an Uber. I'm like, you know, it's going to cost me $10 more, but it's eliminating a stress that I don't want to do on race day. What's the process with checking your bag in? What's the process with where the portaloos are? What's the process with where the tram actually drops you off and then getting to the start line? Because that's about 3 blocks. So you've got to be prepared to walk there. How do you get into the right corrals? Like, all those kind of things is like things you can look up, things you can kind of organize, write down your plan for what race morning looks like, what time you're going to leave the hotel, what time you're going to walk to the train stop, all those kind of things. So really, you're just thinking about the race. Like, all that's just a plan that you've just got to implement come the night before, come race day, whatever it is, and just trying to eliminate, like, pinning your bibs on the night before, like doing the flat lay, take a photo of it, put it on your social media. So that's just one less thing you have to do at 5 a.m. in the morning. So I'd be nearly making a list of all the things you can potentially do 24 hours before that you don't want to do that morning. Because then the role is just to get there and use that energy to on the race, not for worrying about stuff 24 hours earlier. And I think when I was over in Japan, I remember Wayne Larden, he's the run director from the Sydney Marathon and a 2:17 guy, maybe represented Australia at the World Cross Country. He did represent him. And he kind of said, his coach was Dick Telford, who's obviously AIS and Michael Shelley's coach, Lisa Waitman's coach, sports scientist, I suppose, PhD, whatever he is. He pretty much said, like, if you can eliminate stress in that 12, 24 hours beforehand, when you're stressed, your body's burning. And I'm not a scientist or anything, and this story comes second or third hand, so hopefully it's right. But your body, when you're stressed, your body's burning carbs. And we know that carbs, so like your brain's using those carbs, and we know that carbs are like the number one fuel for marathon running and performance. So it's something to think about as well. If you can be relaxed, you can be chilled out, you don't have that stress and worry on race morning, you're going to be able to use that same energy, those same carbs for the race and not unnecessary stresses. So and I guess it's something we might take a bit for granted because we've done and we've got it different as well. We have a special call room at the swimming pool where we've got our own toilets and we've got our own place to drop our bag and things like that, but a lot of people don't have that. So it's about reading the booklets, understanding the Q&A section,
the websites. Fantastic. It's got a lot of information about that, so like you say, you can really do the research. It doesn't take long, just map out what you're doing. I know, I just think back to London Marathon, and you know, I was over there, and the day before, I think I did a dry run to go out there, or you know, 2 days before, because I wanted to work out. And you know, we're lucky in a place like Gold Coast. It is very accessible. It's very easy. We all know how to get there. But you can certainly, you know, at least work out, okay, how long is it going to take me to get to the race, to the line? And you know, you got to factor in traffic. It gets pretty crazy around there because of the road closures and everything. So yeah, really mapping that out the morning. You don't want to be thinking about, oh shit, I've got to walk on an Uber this morning, and you know, really working this out so you're not carrying that stress onto the race line.
And it's much better, obviously, to get there earlier than late. Like, if you know, are we going to leave at 5 or 5:30? Go with 5. Like, the weather's cooler, nice up there that you're not going to freeze on the start line.
Yeah.
I remember doing the same thing in Berlin. Dane Verwey and I just got our stopwatches out and clocked how long it was going to take from the Airbnb to the start line for what we had to do, you know, 3 or 4 days later. So, yeah, that's something I think people overlook as well. Like, I think people don't think about that, and then they bring this stress on themselves and then can have a massive impact on their performance on race day.
Yeah, and race lines, race start lines are stressful places in the and then a marathon itself when you've, you know, you want to go in there not carrying any of that baggage so you can handle it when you're on there.
And even like clothing. So like, are you going to wear the old op shop jumper or the old, long sleeve that you've had for 10 years and throw that off because you don't want to be cold? Like all those things, you can have planned ready to go.
Now getting into the racing, be prepared to go through a bad patch. So that's a pretty honest, no frills about that. That this may happen, and it's more than likely going to happen at some point in a marathon. Half marathon, you might be able to get away with it. You have a blinder and you don't.
I don't know. I think it happens in every race because I think we're wired as runners. If it feels amazing, we just start pushing harder, and then it feels bad. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's if your plan's to go out there and run 3:05 k pace, and you get to 15k, and your 3:05s feel good, well, you start running threes.
Yeah.
And you put yourself in the hurt.
So
and then you put yourself in a bad patch. Isn't that something? And I think the marathon, because the race goes for so long, in time duration and of distance, of course, that you're going to go through a bad patch. It can be, I think most of my marathons, I think I've only done 7, but every one of them, the patches come at a different time. Like it's, you know, there's been times where you go through 15, 17, 18K and you think, oh, this isn't great. Like I'm not feeling fantastic and I'm not even halfway yet. And that's probably like more of a mentally bad patch. Like physically you're feeling all right, but mentally you're just starting to get a bit concerned about how you're going to hold it for 42. Of course, like those last, like I'm not really talking with this tip. Everyone's going to find the last 2 or 3 Ks hard. Like that's a given because you've been running for, 39K at that stage. But there'll probably be a bad patch somewhere else. And I think the Gold Coast, and this is talking from so many years experience of standing on the side of the road at about 31K when you go over a tiny little hill. It's the only hill in the course. And to the right of you is the finish line. So it's that stage where you're starting to hurt. 11K to go still feels like so long. You've just run up this tiny little hill, but it feels like you're going up Mount Everest. And to the right of you, there's the finish line. There's the exit. You can walk off the side right there if you have to, and all the pain can be over. So, my tip is for people to be ready about for that to happen. And B, it's like, well, what strategy are you going to use? Like, who are you going to think about? Is it your kids at home or is it your coach or you're raising money for somebody and you're going to draw on that inspiration? Maybe you're going to distract yourself, counting to 10. That's the thing I do when I'm kind of going through a bad patch sometime. Maybe you're going to break it down and just cut a deal with yourself and maybe go, hey, maybe I don't need to get to 42 today, but I just want to get to 35. And at 35, I'm going to reassess and see if you can get to 38. If you're at 38, maybe get 40. There's different stages, especially on this course as well. The last probably when
do you want to throw to the while you're talking about the course, do you want to quickly throw it up and we can just talk about a couple of those patches that you mentioned.
Sure. Because the first like you go pretty much south for 15K and it's really nice. You go through Surfers Paradise, you go past all the main kind of beaches. It's on a skinny road, like a 2-lane road, and you're going out on the left-hand side and then you come back on the, or your left-hand side coming back out as well. So we're seeing, that's where Michael Shelley fell just over that bridge there at the Commonwealth Games when he was on his way back. So this section here feels amazing. Big crowds, skinny road, kind of, you got skyscrapers on one side and a beautiful beach on the other side. Through this area here, you've actually got houses in between you and the beach. So it feels like you're kind of in a much more built-up area than you are. And then you drop down just pause there for a second, Zacha. That's a kind of interesting part because you kind of just drop down and run on a different highway for 200 or 300 meters and then you come back up to run along the beach. But I felt like that was really good because it just mixed up the kind of environment a bit. Yeah, yeah, straight road, just got to take a turn, take another turn, come back up. And then the focus here is really on this turnaround point, which you got to be careful with. Like you pretty much you're almost stopping to a complete stop. So be prepared. Well, you know what I mean? You're doing a U-turn. Yeah. Like you lose a lot of momentum, a lot of rhythm.
Yeah.
So coming out of that turn, I'd be prepared to be telling yourself, hey, I might feel like junk for the next 400, 500 meters here because I'm just going to get my legs back under me. This stage here is really interesting because you've got people behind you coming towards you and you've also and when you're on the way out, you've also got the winners of the race coming at you. So this is a two-lane road. It gets very tight. So there will be sections before you hit the people coming back towards you where previously you've been able to overtake them on the other side of the road, but now you're going to have people coming at you in that lane. So that's something to think about. You might have to get up in the footpath if you want to go wide around people there. So, but it's kind of there. I felt it was a real kind of your adrenaline's pumping because there's kind of loud crowds
a lot going on there.
And it gets a bit kind of like, I don't know if claustrophobic's the right word, but it feels like everything's kind of in on you. You got people on the
buildings are on
the
really right close.
And the building. And it's not a main like highway like you have earlier in the race. So something to think about there that kind of can get loud. This is nice coming through
Broad Ridge.
Come back through Surfers Paradise. And this is where I'd say from this point on, this is where people, you know, make or break it through here. Like 25K in, 30K in, you're starting to get tired. If you've run it well, you're starting to come through a lot of people as well here. Like there'd be people, all of a sudden there's people struggling. There's people 30K into a marathon, people haven't got their gels right. They're starting to get carb depleted. They're starting to really bleed time. Like people have been running 4:30s all day and now running 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then you've got this little hill at this like little bridge.
Going up to the bridge, is there a slight hill on that?
Not really, to be honest. It'd just be a nice little thing just to break it up a bit. But as you come through there, like that finish line.
That's the aquatic center there, isn't it?
The finish chute on the right there, and you're going to keep going left. And then out in this part of the course is really lonely. I remember when I paced the lead females to 35K, we kind of pretty much went to the next turnaround, but this is, quite.
35 there.
Yeah, that's where Bradley Croker and I stopped pacing that day. And then you kind of going out and come back again, and then you're on the road. So what was that, 35.8?
36 it was.
36.8. Yeah. So be prepared from like 31 to 36 to be running in the opposite direction of the finish line. And you got 30 plus K in your legs and it feels like there's about, three blokes with their dogs on the side of the road. It's not a huge part. Whereas in every other part, but once you make that turn, it's all about just getting to the finish line. And then, you go the same part of the course, the half course there along the water and then back in and finish it, show's over.
Nice.
Be prepared to have some bad patches and, I've spoken before about having things written on my bib. I've had written on my hand before because when you're starting to go a bit and starting to fatigue, sometimes I used to have sometimes I'd race with a smiley face like on my hand. So when I was in a bad patch and maybe start to feel sorry for yourself, you look down at your hand and go, there's a little smile. This isn't too bad. Yeah. Like, let's put everything into perspective a bit here. So, that's one thing I would be thinking about, and it's going to happen. You don't sign up for a marathon I think it's going to be all sunshines and sunshine and lollipops or whatever. Like it's going to get rough out there.
That's what
you come for.
And I think you're spot on. You touched on that in this last bit about just having fun out there, and I say this to my athletes, it's just a privilege that you get a chance to stand on that start line and you've done all the training, you just get to enjoy it, and whatever happens, but you've done the work to get on the line, and that's an achievement in itself, and just enjoy the experience. And I think embrace the day, embrace the energy, and have fun like it is.
And look back. I love looking back over on my training diary or Strava and things like that and go, look how far. Like I've put in a lot of work to get here. Like this is a rewarding feeling standing on the start line, and it's something to be really grateful to have the opportunity, especially after – like 2020, like a lot of people missed opportunities. And like, yeah, sometimes now that the opportunities are back, we might start to take them for granted again. But it's like, hey, you would have loved to have this opportunity in 2020. Yeah. So let's really go out there, have fun, like still do your best. Like I'm not saying it's just a party out there and you're going to start drinking beers every aid station. Like it's not about that. It's about having a good crack. But taking some of that pressure off as well. Like we're not trying to hit an Olympic qualifying time in this performance. Like it's everything in perspective. And sometimes you and I both know that we think we live in these little bubbles and you think things matter more than they do until you rock up to work and start talking to people about running and no one probably really cares about it. But, it's important to put things into perspective. Have fun.
Yeah.
Elliot Kipchoge spoken about like why he smiles in races to kind of
embrace. I love that. I think it's great. I think it's a really good one to use, you know, in that going back to, the eliminator, even back to the unnecessary stress. If you get stressed in the race, just smile and just look around and think, well, okay, I'm out here giving my best and just, and through the bad patches again, you can just smile, look around and just work off. I like what you were talking about earlier about just breaking the race down as well and just working through some of these tough points and then, it's gonna
even just like I've seen people before, you know, thank the volunteers and things like that. You know what I mean? Like, or give the crowd a little thumbs up, like use some of that energy. You don't have to have your head down and just ignore the whole crowd and things like that. Like they're little things that are easy to do and you get the energy back off them and then you just I don't know, like it's just such a good experience to be there on race day. Finish lines are the happiest places on earth, like the endorphins are going everywhere. Be proud. Getting to the start line's not easy. You know, there's some stat out there, isn't there, that like 35% of people training for a marathon never make the start line. Like, 100%. So if you've got there, that's a huge achievement. It's about executing, following the plan. I know my co-host on Inside Running, like Julian Spence, will often say that the race is kind of the easy part sometimes. Like what you've done in training by yourself when it's, you know, 3 degrees in the middle of Victorian winter or whatever, and you've banged out a 35K solo progressive run, it's like, well, the race day is going to be fine. So smile out there, especially the out and back sections where you see people. Like if you know someone who's coming in your direction, keep an eye out for them, give them a high five, give them a smile. That was one of the best experiences pacing it. We got all the cheers for the lead females because we're leading them through and you just use that energy and really enjoy it. So, use all the training. It's time to cash it in on race day and, have fun out there and make sure you enjoy. And even sometimes like getting pretty emotional here, but, like, it's a good opportunity to thank the people who have supported you before the race as well. Like, I'm going to send my wife a nice message or send my boss a message.
Partners who have, dealt with the highs and lows of a marathon, someone training for a marathon, it's great if you can,
Hey, thanks for cooking me dinner for the last 10 weeks when I've been out running or looking after the kids or whatever it is. So it's a good opportunity to put all that together and then, that links back into, like, what are you going to think about when you're going through a bad patch? So hopefully some good tips there. Mate, you're set now. You should go out and run 2:15. I'm going to change my prediction from 2:21 to 2:15. These tips are so good.
It's very exciting, mate. It's going to be a good couple of weeks leading in and then it's going to be great to catch up with a lot of Run to PB athletes. And, bring it on, hey.
And I know on your last podcast as well, I was listening to that Friday when I was jogging, like you guys spoke about the taper. There was a really good listener question there. So that's probably something we haven't touched on, but if you want to go back and listen to that, do you guys just talk about what you should expect to feel like? And everyone thinks when you ease back on that race week, you're meant to feel amazing every day, but you're meant to feel amazing on race day. So don't stress if you don't feel good on the Thursday, Friday, even the Saturday.
Hey, we did have one question. We'll just cover it off before. Yep. It's an interesting one to get your take on. Do you guys warm up, then change shoes, drop bag, or do warm up in the racing shoes? Warm up on a marathon for me is pretty short. So I tend to wear the racing shoes. You know, I probably only do 8 to 10 minutes on a pre-marathon. So I would actually wear them, me personally.
Yeah, you're talking about, I'm assuming this Facebook user just says here wouldn't have access to what we do. So I would same thing.
Wear the heavy.
Oh, no, I'd wear the shoes you're going to race in because I think that goes back to like that tip number 3 to eliminate stress. Yep. I'd kind of go, hey, bat. Then you got to, like, if it's hammering down rain, maybe this is different because maybe you want to move on. Well, maybe you're going to throw a waterproof jacket off or a jumper or whatever. But I would get that bag checked in, and then you can focus on doing your 5-10 minute warm up. As Zach has said, you don't need much. Use the first couple of Ks to warm up. And then, I'd have that bag checked in and knowing that, hey, I'm ready to go now. I can do my 5 minute warm up, get to the start line, eliminate all stress.
Because you don't want to be coming back rushing around, putting the other pair of shoes on, and then, I've got to run to the corral. And, it gets stressful at the last minute if you're sort of stuffing around with those things. So I think it's a good one to eliminate the stress.
Maybe if this question's coming in from someone doing the 5 or the 10 or the half, it might be different. Like you might – and it's good. I know I was doing a Canberra half marathon maybe a month ago, and I had my wife there, so I just said, hey, I'm going to leave you at this corner here. Probably 200 meters from the start line. I'm going to go for 20 minutes. I'm going to come back. Can you hold my bag when I come back? I'm getting changed. And then maybe, get to a situation where then she could put that, check that in the bag one. But I tend to avoid that because I don't want to be in the lines. I don't want to be, because once the bags are in there, you're not getting them back again. The volunteers don't care if you're in your race shoes or not. And it's just the stress you don't want to be dealing with.
Yeah. You put them on and you're away. You're ready to go.
The only good thing about it is, like, I don't really like warming up in my race shoes because I like that feeling of putting them on and then that race feeling. It's like, okay, it's time to race.
Yeah. But,
Depend, really, it's hard with that question because we're not sure what event and we're not sure what pace they're going out as well. But ideally, like, I'm pretty confident a lot of our coaches, their race plans for the marathon would be, hey, this first 10K is about just getting into the race, finding the right pack. And it's okay to feel rubbish in that first 3 or 4K.
Oh, yeah. You'd rather be feeling it like that at the start. It's a good sign. You just want to let it go. Yeah. All right, mate.
Beautiful, mate.
Chat, as always, we've got cheers. Last one here. Cheers for this, guys. Shout out to Coach Andy. Well, Andy will be up there. He's running. We've got Madeline Heiner, coach, she's running in the marathon.
We could win both of them, Zaka, run the PB coaches. I think we've got Frankston. Frankston. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, new coach.
Karina Fife.
Karina Fife, there as well. Yeah.
Marathon, yes.
Karina Fife. We could Josh go Harris first and second the women's. Yeah. Josh Harris is going up. Talked to him last week in Tassie. Jem and Maney be running something up there. Mattress is running the half. Chris Armstrong's in the half. We've got mostly coaches.
So it'd be cool to have them out the course, sort of cheering on their charges.
Coach Sos having a baby, she won't be there. But other coach, but Chris O'Neill's not coming over from WA, but most of them are going to be there.
Yeah. Very exciting, mate. Thanks for the chat. Thanks for the time. And thanks for everyone for tuning in. And
Don't catch a cold. Don't roll an ankle between now and the race day. It's just about getting to the start line, ready to go now.
Absolutely.
All right, mate.